I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 19. If you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, that's on page 957 of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 27, as we consider that theme of doing it all for Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning with verse 19. This is the word of God. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, your word is indeed that lamp unto our feet, that light unto our path to lead us to Christ. And pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work, guiding, directing, convicting us, calling us to a closer walk of faith with Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word, the gospel promises that are ours through faith in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You know, think of the many sports that we play that include the idea of aiming. Now, in archery, the archer aims for the bullseye. In skeet shooting, the skilled marksman aims for the fleeting clay pigeons. You know, in basketball, the shooter aims for the basketball goal, preferably all net. The football kicker aims not just to put it through the uprights, but they want to get it through the center of the uprights. You know, in hockey and soccer, the player aims to score by putting the puck or the ball into the corner of the nets. You know, whether it's archery, skeet, basketball, football, hockey, or soccer, you know, the aim is to score. The goal is to win. You know, if we aim to score and win in our athletic games, And I'm still old school. I'm in favor of keeping score. How much more should we seek to receive that imperishable wreath that's spoken of here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25? You know, that imperishable wreath that Christ will give to his faithful gospel servants as they reach the finish line of faith. I invite you to follow along as we study God's word together in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, with this gospel truth in mind, that may it be my gospel goal, my gospel aim, to do it all for Christ. Well, how can I make it my gospel goal to do it all for Christ? It begins with a gospel desire, then there is a gospel design, and finally, gospel discipline. Begin with that gospel desire for spiritual gain. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, there's an important word, well, a few important words that you'll see repeated. And one of the words that's repeated five times is that word win. It's there in verse 19, two times in verse 20, then 21 and 22. You know, rather than an athletic win, we'll get into athletics here, the Word of God is talking about gain or profit. It's a business term, an economic word that's being used here. And so here we can see the Apostle Paul at the starting line, and he starts by declaring there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, that he is free from all. You know, specifically, what is the Apostle Paul free from? Well, some of it goes back to chapter 8, verse 13. Reading it again, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. The Apostle Paul here is free to eat of this sacrificial meat, the meat sacrificed to idols, or he is free not to eat of it. And he chooses to not eat of this meat so that he would be free in Christ. As well, the God servant here is free from the bondage of sin. You know, it was Augustine who said, man is most free when controlled by God alone. And so the Apostle Paul can truly say here, I am free in Christ. But in the same breath, he says, yet I have made myself a servant of all. You know, for most of us, we would see those as conflicting truths here. How can you be free and yet a servant of all? He is free in Christ, and he freely chooses, you know, because God has called him to saving faith, he freely chooses to serve Christ. He is a Christ servant. Herein, he is like Christ. You know, hear these words of Jesus from Mark chapter 10, verse 42 and following. Mark 10, verse 42. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so here Paul, as a follower, a free follower of Christ, is a servant of Christ. A servant not only of Christ, but a servant of all of God's children. And why does he do it? That I might win more of them. Win them to saving faith in Christ by proclaiming the gospel to them, preaching with a verdict, sharing the good news with them. You know, it was Paul's desire to be used of the Lord to win lost sinners for Christ. That was his goal. That was his aim. By God's grace and for God's glory. Leon Morris put it this way, the apostle did not stand on his dignity, but adapted himself to the position of his hearers in a wholehearted determination to win them for Christ. You know, so with that introductory statement here, here we can see Paul at the starting line. Now the race begins. And he tells us about those that he desires to win for the gospel of Christ, for the glory of God. And there's four different groups here, among whom he spreads the gospel, and it's an expansive gospel spread. Now, Paul doesn't say, well, I just want to focus on this one little group of people, and I don't care about the rest. You know, this is an expansive gospel spread. All types of people need the gospel. And it begins with the Jews. Remember, Paul was born a Jew, a Hebrew of Hebrews. You can read about it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. When Paul preached the gospel to the Jews, he observed their purification rites. He ate their clean food. He even had Timothy circumcised so that Timothy could be used of the Lord to preach the gospel to the Jews. Now, why did Paul do all of that? To the Jew I became as a Jew, in order to win the Jews. And you're going to see a principle here that there is gospel accommodation to aid gospel acceptance. Second group is those under the law. You know, these are the people who meticulously sought to keep every jot and tittle of the law of God in their pursuit of earning God's favor. Their thinking was this: if I do all these things, then I can earn God's favor. You know, if I perfectly keep the law, every aspect of the law, then God has to love me, has to let me into heaven. And God's law is a good thing. You know, we are still called to keep the Ten Commandments. You know, but now in Christ, we've been freed from the civil and ceremonial laws. You know, those laws regarding what foods we can or cannot eat, laws regarding special days other than Sunday, the Lord's Day. And the Apostle Paul writes a parenthesis there, though not being myself under the law. What's he saying there? The law, he's not under the law as a means of works righteousness. You know, hear this verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. And so Paul is preaching the gospel to those under the law, presumably Jewish proselytes, those who weren't born Jewish, but they thought, well, if I become Jewish, then I can earn my way to heaven. Paul says, I'm preaching the gospel to the Jews, to those under the law. The third group is those outside of the law. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 21. Who are those outside the law? Literally, those without the law. These are Gentiles. God graciously sent the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. First to the Jews, rejected by the Jews, then he went to the Gentiles. Paul states there that he was not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. You know, what's Paul talking about there? Well, I think a helpful verse that gives us insight, Matthew 5, verse 17, we think of Jesus himself. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And so here Paul could say, well, I'm under the law of Christ, not as, again, as a means of works righteousness, but certainly Paul knew that he was to love the Lord, his God, with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. And so Paul became like those outside the law, again, that I might win those outside the law. Finally, the last group is the weak. Well, who is weak here? Presumably, it's the new Christians, the baby believers. You know, those who are still struggling and suffering from sin. You know, and that would describe many of us. You remember the hymn we sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus"? Part of it includes this line, "Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." You know, Paul doesn't say, "Well, you're weak. I'm going to write you off. You're never going to make it anyway. Collateral damage." No, Paul preaches the gospel to the Jews, to those under the law, to those outside the law, to those who are weak. Why? In order that the weak I might win. You know, there's a frequent use, when you read this through a number of times, of that personal pronoun here. You know, Paul keeps saying, "I, that I might win the weak." You know, last Sunday we sang the missionary hymn, "Facing the Task Unfinished." If you keep your worship bulletins, the words are still there. I can get you a copy. But here again, the last verse and the chorus of that hymn, that missionary hymn. "O Father who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired, Savior whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untired, from cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake. Forth on thine errand send us to labor for thy sake." And then the chorus, "We go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord." Without being disrespectful or irreverent, if I were ever to be a hymn writer, I don't think the Gettys will ask me my opinion, but you know, I might suggest that we change a pronoun there in the chorus from "we" to "I," so that it would go like this: "I go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord." You know, too often, you know, we're guilty of saying, "Well, you know, Lord, here am I, but send them." You know, the "we." Okay, we go to all the world. I'll stand in the background. They can go. You know, and here Paul says, "No, I'm the one." Not with pride, not with boasting. But he doesn't let the gospel ball drop. Someone has to go. And here Paul says, "Well, here am I, send me. Let me be the one to bring them the gospel, to win more to Christ." You know, he had that heart, that desire for gospel conversion. But note next, now in verse 22, the latter part of verse 22, there's a gospel design to spread grace. You know, it's good to have the desire, and Paul does have the desire. He's beginning it to carry out, but now we can begin to see the design as well. "I have become all things to all peoples, that by all means I might save some." Again, that pronoun "I," but that description of all. You know, God, may I hit 500 in these endeavors. You know, may I break par. You know, the Apostle Paul is saying, "No, Lord, you know, I'm praying that I may become all things to all people so that by all means I might save some." Save that word "some" here for just a minute. You know, here we can, when Paul says, "I have become all things to all people," Paul is not a people pleaser here. You know, there are some who might say, "Well, Paul's a chameleon. You know, he's this way with one group of people. He changes with that other group of people. No. You know, he's consistent with his proclamation and clear with his proclamation of the gospel. But he is adaptable. You know, that's an important word here. You know, Paul is not tolerant. You know, that's a word that many folks use today, even in the church. I wouldn't miss it if it were stricken from the dictionary. You know, but we are called to be adaptable. You know, think of it in Scripture. You know, give you two examples. Moses, you know, began as a baby in the bulrushes in Egypt. Then he was in Pharaoh's court. Then he was a shepherd. Then back before Pharaoh, finally leading God's people out of Egypt through the wilderness right to the edge of the promised land. You think of the Apostle Paul, you know, grew up as a Jew, member of the Sanhedrin, a persecutor of Christians. You know, God graciously brought him to saving faith in Christ. He started out proclaiming the gospel to the Jews, but then he traveled widely to spread the gospel to the Gentiles, suffered for his faith in Christ. You know, what does it mean to become all things to all men? You know, I think the best example, best biblical example is Jesus. You know, look at all the different types of people that he ministered to. The blind, the lame, the lepers. He preached in synagogues and was heard. Tax collectors heard him preach and were converted. An adulterous woman at the well. Children. Demoniacs. Two thieves on the cross with his last breath here on earth. Jesus was a gospel witness. You know, he was adaptable. You know, but what was the aim of grace for Paul, and more importantly for Christ, and what should it be for us? I have become all things to all men or women, that by all means I might save some. You know, what does it mean to save? You know, to proclaim. God chose to use Paul to proclaim the gospel so that sinners would hear, they would repent, and they would run to Christ. Saved from eternal destruction in hell, brought into everlasting life through faith in Christ. There is no better news than that. And yet he knew that he was not infallible, that he was a frail instrument in the hand of a mighty God, that by all means I might save some. You know, that's what keeps many of us, myself included, from sharing. Lord, you know, I know they're not going to listen to me, so why even bother? You know, and Paul said, no, I'm gonna become all things to all men, so that by all means I might save some. You know, if we're not used of the Lord to share the gospel with them, then God can't use us to bring them to saving faith in Christ. God chooses to use means. He uses you, he uses me to bring the lost to faith in Christ. And why does Paul persevere in these gospel labors? Verse 23, I do it all for the sake of the gospel. We could almost say there, I do it all for the glory of Christ. I don't do it so I can have notches in my belt. I don't do it so I can get a pat on the back. I don't do it so I can get a certificate that I can mount on my wall. I do it all for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them. You know, it brings them joy, but it brings Paul joy, that I might share, partner with them in its blessings. You know, there's a gospel reason for living. You know, so often we get confused or off track. You know, Lord, why am I here? What have you called me to do? Well, here it is. Lord, may you be pleased to use me to share the gospel. At home, in the workplace, in my neighborhood, wherever you bring me, Lord. You know, this is your design to spread your grace. Almost was going to bring in a cast net for the children's sermon. Two problems. One, I didn't have a cast net, and then I was thinking, boy, it'll be pretty hard to demonstrate it, and I'm not very good. You know, I've seen those who can use a cast net. You know what I'm talking about. Use it to get bait fish or to catch fish. You know, a big net has weights on the end, and if you throw it correctly, it goes out in a perfect circle, sinks down, pull it in, and, you know, it's full of fish. You know, here Scripture is, you know, with the Apostle Paul, he is casting a wide net. And I believe there's a methodology, a principle for us today. You know, we tend to think, well, I'm just going to target that group of people. You know, those between 18 and 19 and a half who have this income, listen to this kind of music. You know, and here God's word says, no, we ought to cast a wide net. And the Lord will bring in those that he chooses to bring in. But let us be used of him to cast that gospel net wisely and widely. You know, he spreads his grace to all stripes of sinners. Religious people, so-called religious people, those striving to earn their salvation, to prodigal sons and daughters, to weak Christians. A gospel desire for spiritual gain, a gospel design to spread grace. Finally, there is a gospel discipline in salvation, verses 24 through 27. You know, Paul asks one more question there in verse 24. If you remember last week, there were 18 questions in 18 verses. Only one question here. And it's a different kind of question. When he says, do you not know? You know, he's not accusing them of being ignorant, but he is saying, you ought to know this, and you do know this. Why aren't you doing it? And here he speaks in terms of spreading the gospel, but he speaks in language that we can understand. You know, first he begins with speaking about a race. A little bit of background here about the city of Corinth real quickly. The city of Corinth was renowned for what were called the Isthmian Games. They were comparable to the Olympics. They were only held every 2 years just outside the city of Corinth. The events included foot races, wrestling, jumping, boxing, javelin throw, discus toss, chariot races. It was an extravagant festival. It included combined athletics, religion, usually idolatrous religion, and the arts. You know, think of New Orleans when it hosts the Super Bowl. It attracted thousands of competitors, massive crowds of spectators from around the world. You know, not only there to watch the events, but just to enjoy all the extravaganza surrounding it. You know, and here Paul writes, God's word tells us, and reading from the New American Standard Translation, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. You know, three times he uses the word run, and they're all a little bit different. They're the same in our English versions, but the first word, you know, is what's called a participle. Do you not know that those who are running, even now in a race, all run, continue to run, present tense. But only one receives the prize. And then with this third use of run, and you can almost figure this out, it's a command. You know, Paul is not saying, you know, it's optional. Run All of you Christians are to run in such a way that you may win. Even though only one receives the prize. You know, and back in that day, you know what the prize was? Not a gold medal, not money, not a trophy. It said they would make the wreaths, you know, out of pine branches, or they would make them out of celery stalks, but even then it was wilted celery for some reason. You know, but here he's saying, run so that you might receive the prize. Run with perseverance. Don't amble. Don't dawdle. Don't saunter. Run. You know, don't stop. Don't give up. You know, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Run purposefully. Run passionately. Run perseveringly. But run. You know, there are to be no spectators here in this kingdom work. We're all runners. We're all part of this gospel labor. And yes, it is rigorous. Yes, so that you may obtain and receive the reward of faith, but the implication is that there will be pain in this perseverance. You know, it's not a 100-yard dash. It's more like a marathon. You know, don't give up. You know, there's a constant temptation to quit the race of faith in Christ. You know, and that's one of my great sadnesses. I see it in the ministry. I see fellow pastors. I've seen it with those who I thought were strong Christians who just said, you know, I think I'll quit. This is too hard for me. Too much work. Wouldn't it be just easier to sin? And I've heard almost those exact words. Wouldn't it be easier to give in to temptation? You know, it's too hard to spend time with the Lord. Read my Bible, seek his face in prayer. Other things I can do on Sunday. It'd just be easier to throw in the towel and just walk away from worshiping Christ. And I don't want to sugarcoat this. I don't want to say when you follow Christ, everything is peaches and cream. No, it's not. It's hard. You know, read Pilgrim's Progress. I don't think I have it in the right order. The Slough of Despond, Giant Despair, Bypass Meadow. To update that, there is the discouragement of the devil. There is despair when we doubt the promises of God's word. Sometimes it's just weariness. You know, so how can we persevere towards our gospel goal in Christ? Because we know there's a finish line. Christ is waiting for us there. So how do we run? Practical advice, verse 25. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. If you want to run, you want to finish the race, then it means you give up some things. You know, for the athletes there who were running in the Isthmian Games, they trained for 10 months. You know, they gave up eating certain food. They gave up drinking wine. They gave up certain activities. Why? Because they wanted to run the race to win. You know, and those things become secondary to running the race, to finishing for the glory of Christ. Charles Hodge put it this way, the greatest self-denial in preparation and the greatest effort in the contest were necessary to success. You know, we must be all in. A little dated illustration, you know, it's not the hokey pokey. You know, you put your left foot in, you put your left foot out. You know, when we're following Christ, we're all in. That's what Christ calls us to. to run with perseverance, to run with passion, to run to finish the race. And when we arrive there, you know, Christ will be waiting, holding that wreath. And how will we know it's Christ? Because it's his nail-scarred hands. He'll say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." And so Paul here has one last image. I do not box as one beating the air. You know, English teachers would be all upset here, mixed metaphors, but, you know, he doesn't just shadow box. He doesn't just throw wild punches without landing a blow. No, each blow is deliberate. It's aimed to win the boxing match. So he disciplines his body, physical body, spiritual body, keeps it under control, lest after preaching to others, proclaiming the good news to others, I myself should be disqualified. You know, Paul here was not worried about losing his salvation. But Paul knew, as it said, Paul knew that the prize is received only by those who endure to the end. We're not there yet. We're still in the midst of the race, and Christ himself calls us to run to the finish line, and more importantly, to run to Christ, to be proclaiming the gospel. Brothers and sisters, with each passing step, we're drawing closer to Christ. You know, may we continue to run the race of faith with that desire, with that design, with that discipline. Let us do so that others might be won for Christ, so that others might hear the gospel and come to saving faith in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for strengthening us to run the race. We thank you, Father, that you've given us that gospel purpose even as we are running to share the gospel by all means with all people so that they might hear and come to saving faith in Christ. And Lord, I pray this morning for those who are weary, to those who are tempted to quit, Father, renew their strength so that they might mount up with wings like eagles, so that they might run and not be weary, so that they might walk and not be faint. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.